Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
In modern medicine, kidney transplantation is a real beacon of hope for those in need. Yet the quest for compatible organ donors remains a significant challenge, often resulting in prolonged waits and sometimes tragic outcomes. Well, this week is Organ Donation Awareness Week, which is organised by the Irish Kidney Association. And most kidney donations come from deceased donors, and only those family members or close friends who are found to be a match can donate to someone in need. Altruistic organ donation, where someone undergoes elective surgery but doesn't know the recipient, is not yet permitted under Irish law, but it is an option in the UK. Well, Professor Chris Fitzpatrick is the former master of the Coombe Maternity Hospital and is here with me in the studio. You're very welcome, Chris. Lovely to have you.
Thanks, Claire.
With us. In 2019, you decided to donate a kidney to a stranger.
Yes, Claire, and it was a direct result of actually watching Claire Byrne live. So I was at home watching the TV, and in your audience I spotted a colleague of mine, Dominic Nathan, who is an occupational health consultant in the Mater Hospital. And I know Dominic, he was a couple of years behind me in college. Our daughters were in the same class. I would see him socially and at medical events. And I assume, seeing him in the audience, that he was there to comment on some medical controversy or a bad news medical story. And I was shocked, actually, when you came to him in the audience, and he told the story about donating a kidney in Belfast as an altruistic donor.
Mm. And I remember because he told us that he had been a blood donor for years.
That's correct.
And this for him was just another step. Well, if I can do that, I can do this. And on he went.
Well, like him, I carried the Irish Kidney Association donation card for years, and on and off I was a blood donor. But I was really shocked when he told the story. And Dominic is one of life's great enthusiasts. So it was a very enthusiastic story in relation to his experience, the benefit to the patient, and also the very positive experience it was for him. So I texted him just immediately after the program and said, "God, Dominic, I was really surprised and shocked and well done." And it kind of played on my mind for a while. And I arranged to meet him the following week in the Mater. And he had all the material that he'd been given in relation to the procedure. And like, he didn't encourage me to have it, but I was really interested in it. And I was kind of coming up to like 63, 64. And I was thinking of retirement. And like, I had performed a lot of operations myself. And suddenly the prospect of doing something like this, it just appealed to me for whatever reason. In the audience also was Dr. Colin McGee, who is a nephrologist from Beaumont. And I phoned him and he came over to see me. I was working in the Coombe at the time. And once again, he gave me all of the information. It was very non-directive counselling. He didn't encourage me, but I said, "Look, I'm really interested in it." And then he put me in contact in Beaumont because of the fact that non-directive altruistic donation, i.e. donation by a stranger, is not permissible yet, but will now under the new legislation. He made an arrangement for me to meet Aisling Courtney, a nephrologist in Belfast. Then I had to go back and tell my family, because this was percolating around in my mind. So my wife's a doctor. So I told her, and she was very cautious about it and outlined all of the potential risks and whether anyone in the family might need a kidney in the future. And my daughter also is a medical negligence solicitor.
Coming at you from all sides.
So I was coming at me, but like, they expressed kind of caution. And then when they saw I was kind of serious about it and I'd kind of thought about it kind of carefully, they were supportive. My sons, on the
other thing, can I say to you, is that you all knew very well that a person doesn't need two kidneys.
That's a really like an important piece of information. It's a kind of a quirk of nature that you have two organs and you can live very happily with one. And in fact, there are people who are just born with one kidney and they don't find out until perhaps they have an investigation or a scan in later life and have had a perfectly healthy life. So you don't need to. And actually, when I told my sons, they had quite the opposite response. They said, "Just go for it, Dad." So, and I don't know if that necessarily was the right type of counselling I needed. But it's purely elective surgery. And the selection process is quite rigorous, i.e. you're not permitted to donate unless the risks for you are very low.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a constant there's a constant option to, in fact, back out of a decision. So right up until the time that you have the anaesthetic, you're asked, like, are you sure you want to go ahead with this? And that's very reassuring.
Did you feel like changing your mind at the last
minute? No, I didn't feel, but the constant questioning, like, are you happy to go ahead with this? Lots of information, lots of opportunities to ask questions, and very meticulous investigation prior. Also, I was able to participate in a chain of altruistic donations, and this is something that I think increases availability. So I donated my kidney to somebody whom I did not know, and they had a relative who was willing to donate, but it wasn't the correct match.
Mm-hmm.
So they donated to
somebody
a person
else.
Similar circumstances, and they donated to. So it was a chain of three. So you felt and. Doing a non-directive donation, i.e. a donation to somebody you don't know, activates a chain of relatives who have non-matching kidneys.
So tell me, where did you go then for the
so
operation?
So I went to Belfast City Hospital, and I had the procedure. So I was admitted in on a Sunday night, the operation on a Monday. I was going home on a Wednesday, and I actually was held an extra day just because of distance. But I was up walking around the day after surgery. Like, it's done through keyhole surgery. So we have small incisions with just one slightly enlarged incision, so to let the kidney come out. You're up and walking, as I say, the day afterwards. I was back to work within 4 weeks. I was back on the bike in 6 weeks' time.
It's not to minimise now. It's no small thing. You're out of not working for 4 weeks.
It's not working for 4 weeks. Now, if in fact it were now, I perhaps would have been able to go back to work, because at that stage, it was just prior to COVID. There was no facility to work from home. So, but I didn't go back to work formally until 4 weeks afterwards. And in the new act that's coming in, like, there is an opportunity to have compensation in terms of income loss, in terms of childcare, travel, accommodation, etc. So now there's obviously no remuneration, but the new act that has been passed, and this is kind of a long awaited piece of legislation, will allow for compensation for undergoing the procedure. But it is a period of time out of action. But because of the fact that it's elective surgery, you're not actually sick having the operation.
Yes, you're well and you're in good health.
Quickly afterwards, yes.
So what did you find out about what happened to your kidney and where it
went
to?
Well, it's an anonymous donation. And so there's strict confidentiality in relation to it. So the person who received the kidney, they wrote to me, mediated through the organ donation scheme in the UK. So the person wrote to me about 3 months later, at which time COVID actually was underway, and said that they were quite sick beforehand, that a very rocky time prior to the donation, but that the kidney had worked. If I was ever in London, that I could meet up with them. Now, at that stage, I was delighted, first of all, that it had gone well. I love London, and it was the last city I visited before COVID, and the first actually I visited after COVID. So I got a bit of a kick out of the fact that the kidney was in COVID. It also was around the time of Brexit. So there's all this stuff about, kind of goods going across borders, etc., and passports. And I said, well, like, I have a kidney now actually existing in London, in a Londoner. So that was the kind of, it didn't matter really where the kidney went, but I just got a kind of a personal kick out of it as well. So I just wrote back to him, mediated through the scheme, to say, look, thanks very much. I hope it works as well for you as it has for me. And I made no arrangement to meet up.
Mm-hmm. And you left it at that, did you?
Yeah, left it at that, yes.
Yeah. And I know one of the messages you want to get across today is just how important it is, on the other side of this, that your family know your wishes. I know we're moving to an opt-out system here, but you still think it's very important that your family knows your wishes when it comes to organ donation.
Well, I think that this is one of the messages from Organ Donation Week, is actually to have that conversation now, so that the families are aware, in the event of a tragic circumstance, that somebody who's, say, on a ventilator, that decision has already been discussed. And I was listening to Dr. Alan Gaffney. He is a anaesthesiologist in Bowman, talking recently about this new potential donor audit scheme that's taking place, whereby there are nurse specialists in organ donation, transplantation, now appointed into a number of ICUs, who actually raise that awareness among clinicians to ask the appropriate questions, and also facilitate conversations with the family in order to avail of a suitable kidney mm-hmm. in very tragic circumstances. Having the conversation beforehand is important. The new Act will allow for an opt-out scheme,
yes,
whereby if you have, you will be deemed to have consented unless you have registered your wish not actually to be a candidate for a donation. But having said that, families will still, in fact, be part of the discussion in relation to it. So one way or another, now or when the legislation is passed, it's really important to have the conversation now in relation to deceased donation. And also in relation to living donation, for those relatives or friends of persons who need to have a kidney in relation to their ongoing healthcare. First of all, no one should feel under an obligation to actually have donate a kidney as a living donor. But if you're thinking of it, just to say that first of all, the you only need one kidney, that it only is actually undertaken if the risks to you are extremely low. That the care is phenomenally good, like both preoperatively in terms of the surgery itself and then long-term care as well. So I will have an annual checkup. The risks long-term are minimal, small increase in the risk of blood pressure, but you're getting your blood pressure checked very regularly afterwards. So in fact, things are picked up mm-hmm. and you know the annual screen is of great reassurance.
And we'll get to that point. It's coming where we will have an altruistic donation yes. system here in Ireland.
Yes, yes, coming in. And so the legislation is passed. It has to be implemented, but already there's been money put aside by the minister in relation to the early phase of the implementation plan. So it will happen. So I think there will be a significant rise in the number of organs that will be available for donation, mm-hmm. both kidneys and also other organs in terms of deceased donations. So decreased waiting times, decreased waiting lists. And at present, I was talking to Colin McGee yesterday. I think there are several hundred people on the waiting list for organ donation. And at present in Beaumont, approximately 180 donations per year. And 2/3 of those are deceased. 1/3 are from living donors. And both donations are really important. And organs from those two sources are very precious.
Yeah, they make a huge difference. And listen, on a side note, it is so gratifying for us to know that our little television programme made such a difference to somebody who's living, hopefully, a healthy life now in London.
Well, I think it shows the power of public service broadcasting. And if I hadn't have seen the programme, perhaps this would not have happened. I can both thank you and perhaps blame you as well, Claire.
Well, your family might blame me. Chris, thank you so much. Okay. And thanks for coming in to tell us about it. And if you want more information on anything that we have discussed here this morning, the Irish Kidney Association is a great, useful place to go. And you can visit their website. It's ika.ie for more information. Thank you very much, Chris. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.